last chance. It's right there.
Thank you very much.
The last chance.
Bonjour à tous, je m'appelle Robert Primavesi, je suis le vice-doyen prédoctoral de le programme de médecine à la faculté de l'Université McGill et j'aimerais vous souhaiter la bienvenue à notre cérémonie 2013 Donning the Hero's Habit. Good morning, everybody. So my name is Robert Primavesi. I'm the Associate Dean for Undergraduate Medical Education at the Faculty of Medicine at McGill. I'd like to extend a warm welcome to our 2013 ceremony, Donning the Healer's Habit. We will begin this morning's program with a musical preload from E. Medici of the McGill String Quartet. Alors, nous allons commencer la cérémonie avec un prélude musical de Quatuor E. Medici de McGill. Je vous prie donc de fermer vos téléphones cellulaires, vos pagettes, et aussi de ne pas prendre des photos pendant la cérémonie. Un photographe professionnel prendra des photos de chaque étudiant au moment qu'il recevra son sarrau blanc. Les photos seront disponibles gratuitement aux étudiants, incluant un DVD de cérémonie. So I'll actually ask you to please turn off your cell phones, put your pagers on vibrate, and request that you refrain from taking photos during the ceremony. We have a professional photographer who will take photos of each of the students as they receive their white coat. And the photographs and a DVD of the ceremony are available to the students upon request through our special events office. So this is the 13th white coat ceremony, and the Medici de McGill String Quartet has been privileged to perform at all of them. The quartet is composed of members of the E. Medici de McGill Orchestra. The ensemble is now in its 25th season and counts some 75 members. The mission of E. Medici is to provide musical content for various events in the life of the faculty, the university, and the community, and thus add a unique social dimension to medical education and the profession. And I will introduce the musicians. Dr. Ante Pagin on viola is a founder Dr. Pagin is the founder and director of E. Medici de McGill. He's trained as a musician, a physician, and a scientist at the University of Zagreb in Croatia, University of Edinburgh in Scotland, and the National Institute of Mental Health in Washington, D.C. Since 1976, he's professor of pharmacology and therapeutics at McGill University, doing research in neuroscience, alcoholism, and medical informatics. Over the past decade, he is increasingly engaged in the development of international projects in neuroscience in the developing world. Hee-won Yoon, violin one. Is an undergraduate student in the Department of Pharmacology and Therapeutics. Thomas Quayle, violin two. So Thomas is a graduate student of Dr. Leon Glass, who is a horn player in Medici, in the Department of Physiology, Center for Nonlinear Dynamics, and he's the principal violist in the orchestra. And Melanie Sagato on cello. Melanie is a graduate student of Drs. Satori and Penhoon in the interdisciplinary program Neuropsychology of Music Performance, and she's the principal cellist in the orchestra. And the program you will hear is Bach's Suite No. 3, Air, and Mozart's Divertimento in D, K136, Allegro. Thank you. So if you like what you heard, the I Medici Orchestra is holding its fall public concert on Sunday, November 24th, with soloist Emmanuel Vukovic on violin, and they will be playing Brahms' Tragic Overture, Mozart's Violin Concerto No. 5, and Beethoven's Symphony No. 5. Alors, bienvenue aux étudiants de la classe de 2016, à leurs familles et leurs amis. C'est un grand moment pour tous ceux qui ont contribué à la formation de ces futurs médecins. To the students of the class of 2016, their families and friends, welcome to the donning of the Healer's Habit ceremony. This is a very proud moment for everyone who has contributed to getting these students to where they are today. Since the event is so popular, we don't have enough seating for everybody in this room. So the guests who are seated in the Martin are able to watch the proceedings through live streaming. Okay, and we can interact and wave and say hello, and they can wave back. All right, so it's almost like being in the same room. Not quite, but almost. All right. I would like to acknowledge a special group of faculty members who are here in attendance today, the Osser Fellows for the class of 2016, named in honor of the great McGill teacher, Sir William Osler. The Osser Fellows represent some of the Faculty of Medicine's finest teachers who have been assigned to tutor and mentor groups of six students from the very first day of medical school right through to graduation. I'd like the Osser Fellows, as well as Dr. Barry Slavkoff, director of the Osser Fellow Program, to stand so we can acknowledge their contributions to the education of these students. And if you're a first-time Osser Fellow, you will receive a copy of William Osler to Osser Fellows, a draft of an address in Sir William Osler's hand. For the students of the class of 2016, the donning of the white coat marks your transition from a layperson to a professional. Sir William Osler said, "The student begins with the patient, continues with the patient, and ends his studies with the patient, using books and lectures as tools, as means to an end. In January, we'll take your studies of medicine from the classrooms to the bedsides of your patients. This is where you will learn and practice medicine for the rest of your careers. By donning your white coat, you accept to provide the higher standards of ethical care to your patients as individuals and to meet the needs and wellness of society. You make this commitment in front of your peers, your families, and your friends. It's a big responsibility, but one that you have studied long and hard to achieve, and a responsibility that we are confident you are ready to take." At this point, I would like to invite Dr. David Eidelman, Vice Principal of Health Affairs and Dean of the Faculty of Medicine, to address the class. Je vais entrer donc Dr. David Eidelman, vice-principal santé et affaires médicales et doyen de la faculté de médecine, à s'adresser à la classe de 2016.
Merci beaucoup, Rob. Alors, je vous souhaite la bienvenue. C'est pas seulement en tant que doyen, mais aussi dans ma qualité de médecin que j'ai le grand honneur de m'adresser à vous, à la classe de 2016 et à vos invités aujourd'hui. Surtout toutes les personnes qui comptent particulièrement dans votre vie. Before starting, I'd like to thank our invited speaker, Dave Williams. You know, it's not every day I get to sit next to an astronaut, and that's really cool, so I'm sure he's going to give us a great talk. I'd also like, on behalf of the entire faculty, to thank Don Boudreau, who's really sustained this great event, really from its very beginning. It started in 2001 with a gift from the Wiener family, and it's now in its 13th year, I believe, and 12th or 13th year, and it's really a very proud milestone for our faculty. Now, of course, one of the key characteristics of being a dean is that you're kind of old. Now, when I was at your stage, it was the year of the Olympics, 1976, and things were very different then. So many of us over the summer had a job at the Olympics, and our job was really very glamorous. We were in charge of supervising the collection of urine from the athletes for doping. Now, I know as cool as that sounds, the best part of the job was that we all had special passes so that we could go to all the events with the athletes. We'd go to the athletes' village and the press gallery. And really, it was very cool. On the other hand, starting clinical work was a lot less cool. Because we got white coats, but there was no ceremony. Like in those days, things just sort of happened. They told you where to show up, and they said, here, show up here, pick up your white coat, go to this ward, do this thing. And we were good baby boomers. We did exactly what we were said. We didn't ask ourselves many questions. We knew that doctors wore white coats, of course. So we said, well, if we're going to be doctors, we have white coats. Aujourd'hui, cependant, c'est un peu différent. Nous sommes engagés dans un événement qui marque une transition importante dans votre vie et dans l'évolution de votre carrière en tant que futur médecin. L'enfilage de son sarrau, pour la première fois, est une occasion pour réflexion. Vos nouveaux sarraux sont courts. Et il est le coutume ici pour les étudiants de porter des blouses courtes jusqu'à ce qu'ils obtiennent leur diplôme. Et c'était la même chose dans mon temps. Sauf au l'hôpital général, on donnait tout une complet en blanche. Là. Vous allez noter que vos sarraux sont très fonctionnels. D'abord, ils protègent les vêtements. Deuxièmement, ils ont des grosses poches. Okay? On peut enfiler de l'équipement et surtout des collations. Mais toutefois, c'est leur nature symbolique qui est primordiale. Ces sarraux rappellent les costumes spéciaux portés par les prêtres et les chamans dans plusieurs cultures. Et dans ce sens, le sarrau est un vêtement spécial réservé aux guérisseurs. Of course, physicians didn't always wear white coats. And surprisingly, and of course, most probably don't even wear them today. I don't wear it at clinic even myself. But it's surprising that it's a relatively recent phenomenon that was adopted just over a century ago. And the idea was to emphasize the link between medicine and science. Because men of science, and even women of science, wear white coats. And the idea was to raise the status of the profession of a physician. And many of you will know that white coats are actually sometimes criticized as being a symbol of power, of separating the healer from their patient. And they're also criticized by some of us as being ways to spread germs. But nevertheless, there's evidence that patients actually respond to the white coat because they see the person then as a special person, as a healer. And like in traditional societies, we expect our healers to be somehow special, at least while they're exercising their healing function. Now, while we share many things with healers of the past, we wear our white coats, of course, with pride, because doctors nowadays are indeed healers, and not mystics or harbingers of doom or quacks, as they were in the old days, because we live in an age of evidence-based medicine, of application of science to healing, and in fact, modern-day physicians do work hand-in-hand with scientists, and many times they're both scientists and physicians at the same time. So when putting on the coat, you're marking an important transition from layperson to professional. It conveys the professional responsibilities you will carry throughout your entire career, and so it's symbolism of a very high order. It's the first step to becoming the doctor that you one day will be. Today you don a physical coat. During your career you will adapt your appearance to you will adapt your appearance to the demands of the profession as you're going to practice it. The white coat will in many ways become a reflection of the person wearing it and a reflection of you. If you're a family doctor, your white coat might have a stethoscope in the pocket if you wear a white coat. For some specialties, white coats are mostly left on the hanger, on the hook on the door. Pediatricians rarely wear them. Psychiatrists almost never. But the symbolism of the white coat is no less important. It's been called an emblem of trust, the trust that you must earn from your patients. And we have every confidence that you will earn that trust. with every interaction with every patient over the days and years of your professional lives, the white coat will endure as a symbol of hope and healing. So although the moment of putting on the white coat is a simple act, it's a meaningful moment for you and for those close to you. To get to this place and to this point in time has required extraordinary effort on your part, support of friends and your family, some of whom are here today. And it's a moment of pride for them too. You're fulfilling the hopes and dreams that they have invested in you. And to all those families and friends, thank you. Alors, futur médecin, au nom de la faculté de médecine, je vous félicite. I wish you all the best on the next steps of your journey. Congratulations.
Notre conférencier principal, Dr. Dave Williams. It is a great personal pleasure that I introduce our keynote speaker, Dr. Dave Williams. I don't know if he actually remembers this, but I first met Dave in 1978 when I was a first-year physiology student at McGill, and Dave was working on his master's, and Dave was my physiology lab demonstrator, and he guided me through measuring muscle action potentials using a frog gastrocnemius sciatic nerve preparation that I had to dissect. Now Dr. Williams is president and CEO of South Lake Regional Health. He is probably most famous for his career as an astronaut for the Canadian Space Agency. Dr. Williams is a McGill alumni, graduating from McGill Medical School in 1983. He went on to do a family medicine residency in Ottawa and then emergency medicine in Toronto. And he was just named chief of emergency medicine in Sunnybrook Health Science Centre when he found out that the Canadian Space Agency was recruiting astronaut trainees. Dr. Williams completed basic training and was appointed manager of missions and space medicine group within the astronaut program. In 1995, he was selected to join the international class of NASA mission specialist astronaut candidates. And in 1998, he became the first non-American to hold a senior management position within NASA when he served as the director of the Space and Life Sciences Directorate at the Johnson Space Center, with responsibility for research in both physical and biomedical space sciences, a position he held until 2002. Dr. Williams has had two space flights, both of which were space shuttle missions. His first space flight in 1998 was a 16-day mission aboard Space Shuttle Columbia, dedicated to neuroscience research. His second flight in 2007 was flown by Space Shuttle Endeavour to the International Space Station, and during that mission he performed three spacewalks, becoming the third Canadian to perform a spacewalk and setting Canadian record for total number of spacewalks that combined over 17 hours. He announced his retirement as an astronaut in 2008. In 2007, Dave Williams received an honorary Doctor of Science from his alma mater, McGill University. He was inducted into Canada's Aviation Hall of Fame in 2012, recognized for playing the integral role in the development of the fields of aerospace and medicine, and contributing to Canada's development through his work. He was made an Officer of the Order of Canada in 2013 for his work in space exploration. Dr. Williams has held leadership positions at many hospitals, most recently becoming President and CEO of South Lake Regional Health Centre in Newmarket, Ontario in 2011. Through a generous donation, he has created the Dave Williams Leadership Award that is awarded to students within the Faculty of Medicine that recognize leadership either within or outside of medical school. And I cannot think of a better role model to address you today at this very important junction in your professional lives. Dave.
Thanks very, very much. Merci tout le monde. Ça me fait plaisir d'être ici aujourd'hui pour vous présenter mes expériences. It's an unbelievable honor and pleasure for me to be here today and share with you some of my experiences. You know, it seems just yesterday that I was in this room. In the space program, we haven't figured out a way to send people through time. And yet, you know, I walk into this room and it has brought me back to the late 1970s. So it's really a remarkable experience. Today is a phenomenal ceremony. Congratulations to all of you for the tremendous work that you've done in the first year and a half, 2 years of your medical training. And this ceremony is a great testimony to the important step that you'll now take going out and embarking on clinical practice. Congratulations to the parents. I think over the course of the past few years, you've probably gone through the ups and the downs and the trials and the tribulations of graduations and application processes and things. And this is one in many steps of a very, very proud career for your children, so congratulations to all of you as well. I would like to say that today's ceremony is all about putting on the coat. However, I would suggest we should take the coat off. In fact, to me, medicine, I've never been able to decide whether it's an artful science or a scientific art. As a physician, we're humans first. And we have to remember that. We're healers second, humans first. So while we wear the coat, the mantle of being a physician, we have to understand it's that compassion, that empathy that we bring to every patient encounter that's so critical. The scope of what we do in clinical practice today is broader than anything that I had certainly been trained for when I was here as a medical student. And I think as we go forward through your career, you will see changes in the future practice of medicine that will similarly transform medical care. It was amazing, 1971, I walked through the Rhodic Gates as an undergraduate at McGill 40 years ago. You know, 60 is the new 30, it's okay, right? And I remember being in the Leacock Amphitheater, sitting there with 1,000 other students in biology E101, which some of us remember that. And the professor way down at the podium, I was up in the back, you needed binoculars to be able to see the professor. And the professor says, how many of you want to be medical students in the whole room? And I felt, well, there goes that dream, because there's no way that I'm ever going to get a chance to come up the hill and be able to train in McIntyre. But I was very fortunate, persisted, despite some challenges that I had as an undergraduate and in graduate school, was able to get into medical school in 1979. It was truly a remarkable moment for me to be able to join my classmates in the class of 83 and embark on a career learning and practicing medicine. Truly incredible. However, that career took me to a very different location, practicing medicine in space. And once a physician, always a physician. So wherever we are at any point in time in our lives, if we're called upon to heal others, we will embark on what we've been trained to do. If you were to ask me, in fact, what do? I will say, yes, I'm a physician, yes, I'm an astronaut, but in fact, I'm an exploration scientist. Whether you're working as a researcher in a research laboratory, whether you're working as a clinician on a ward, whether you're working as a scientist or an astronaut in space or in the Arctic and the Antarctic, for me, exploration is all about that quest, that passion for knowledge. And that passion for knowledge will carry with you throughout your whole clinical career. Never lose the passion, because that's what keeps us all alive. When you're living and working on the space station, it's an unbelievable environment to work in. But I love this quote from John Gardner. One of the reasons mature people stop learning is that they become less willing to risk failure. As we go forward in our clinical careers, we will encounter adverse medical events. Our job is to be able to learn from those events, learn everything that we can to make sure that those events do not get repeated, that we, in fact, ourselves don't make mistakes. Mistakes will happen in our clinical career, no matter how hard we try to prevent them, and that's one of the things that we have to accept as humans. We are fallible. Recognizing that, we want to do our best for our patients. And that's a journey that you're on right now, and it's a very, very exciting journey. So as you enter the clinical environment of the wards, if you see something that you're not sure about, please speak up and ask, because sometimes things might not necessarily be as they seem, and we want to be able to have people contribute. When you're working in this environment, as an emerge physician, I look at this and say, oh, it's a quiet day in the emergency department. We understand the challenges of delivering high-quality medical care with all the pressures that are brought to bear on all the members of the healthcare team trying to meet the needs of patients and their families. It's interesting that in that environment, sometimes we can forget the human. This is a picture of a lady who was successfully resuscitated after she was brought into the emergency department in cardiac arrest. You look at the picture and the patient's alive. You can see that they are recovering from this event, probably very physiologically stressful and very emotionally stressful as well. And you look at the team. And I look at this slide and I say, what's wrong with this picture? This person has almost died. And the people are sweeping up the floor, time to go for a coffee, going to Timbits and that sort of thing. We need to remember the patient. Humans first, healers second. Always have empathy for the patient. Remember that it's an individual that we're treating. I don't know about you, but if I almost died, this is a big deal. And we want to have people there who are there to support us. Absolutely critical to be able to do that. I thought I understood medicine, because I had practiced for a number of years in a wide range of clinical environments, but I have to tell you I did not understand medicine until I became a patient. When I turned 50, you know, there's the metaphor of the car driving down the highway and the bug and the windshield. I became the bug. At age 50, I was diagnosed with a major medical problem, and I lost everything. I lost my flight certification as a pilot. I lost my astronaut medical certification. And I remember going into the hospital in the States vertical as a physician astronaut thinking this is okay. And somewhere between the time that I walked in and they told me, put on this gown, it opens up in the back, by the way, and climb up on the stretcher, I was no longer a physician. When I was sitting on the stretcher and the nurse came in and said, Dr. Williams, you have to lie down on the stretcher. And I said, but I feel fine. He said, no, you have to lie down. It's the rules. And the bed rail goes up. Going from being vertical to being horizontal, that was it. I gained the label of being a patient. So my definition for quality medical care is a very interesting one that comes from personal experience. It's speaking of delivering individualized health services that meet or exceed the patient's desired outcome. The clinician shares the same desired outcome the patient does, delivered in an environment of caring, respect, and dignity. After my surgery, and even though this was in 2004, I ended up with a 6-inch incision in my abdomen, and I had drains, I had Foleys, I had IVs, I had everything the medical profession can give you. But you know, when you've got all this stuff, you're kind of like this with your IV pole, right? I'm 50 and I'm walking like this. And you know, the nurses come in and they say, Dr. Williams, you've got to get out of bed. You've got to start doing the thing with the incentive spirometer, you know, blowing and all this stuff. So I was trying. I was trying really hard. But you know what? 6-inch incisions, they hurt. And I'm walking down the corridor. The cleaner, you know, the mom, he would say, oh, you're looking good. You're walking farther today. He's coaching me. He's mentoring me. He's giving me positive feedback. And this is phenomenal. The cleaner. I walk by the nursing station. The nurses were all very busy. Occasionally, one of them would look up at me and say, oh, you're looking good. Great to see you out of bed. I'd walk by the clinicians who were busy rounding on patients. Generally, it was only the medical student in the short coat, which you guys are going to get today, by the way, short coat, who would turn to me and say, hello. And I often wonder, why is it that it's the cleaner that was giving me the motivating comments, encouraging me to go forward, saying, you're looking good. It's great to see you up out of bed. All of us, no matter what role we play in healthcare professionals and in the team, we have the opportunity to interact as humans and encourage people to be able to reach forward. It was interesting being out in space because, of course, being in space gives you a totally different perspective on things. And when you're looking at the Earth from an altitude of 350 kilometers, traveling 25 times the speed of sound, it's a transformational experience. But in 1979, I was sitting kind of right over there. My life changed, sitting right over where you guys are sitting. Isn't that cool? You're sitting in the same place. My life changed. You're there. You're probably wondering, what happened? How did this? Med One. I was sitting in those seats in Med One. Balfour Mount was giving a lecture. And he showed a movie called How Can I Not Be Among You? That celebrated the life of Ted Rosenthal. Ted was a writer who wrote for the New York Times and many other magazines. And very tragically, he was diagnosed with leukemia at age 31. And of course, in the early 70s, when he was diagnosed, we didn't have the therapeutic capability we had today. Very tragically, he passed away over the course of a year and a half. While I was sitting in those seats watching the movie, How Can I Not Be Among You, which, by the way, I've seen now well over 10 times, I was struck by these quotes from Ted Rosenthal. Turns out you can live a lifetime in a day, you can live a lifetime in a moment, you can live a lifetime in a year. And I listened to those words as a first-year medical student, and I thought, this is how I want to live my life. I want to get every possible ounce of experience out of every moment that I have. And I tried to do that my whole life. It wasn't until I was in space, riding the end of the Canadarm, when I was looking at the view that you're looking at right now, that I realized what Ted was talking about. In that moment, I was looking at a 4.5 billion-year-old planet, reflecting upon the fact that the entire history of the human species had taken place on this planet. And I realized Ted's gift to all of us. It's all about living in the moment. As healers, we have the opportunity to live thousands of lives with our patients. In those moments when patients share with us their fears, their concerns, their worries, in those moments when we reach out, we're able to help. Sometimes it's simply holding their hand as they pass away. Other times it's saving their lives. Truly transformational experiences. Never become complacent to those moments. It's easy for me to say now, you will swear that in second year medical school you'll never be complacent to it. When you're a busy clinician and you're seeing one patient every 6 minutes, sometimes it's easy to forget. Try not to. Try and remember those moments, what Ted shared with you. Live in the present. Learn from the past to prepare for the future, but certainly live in the present and take value from those human experiences. It's important with patients to always give hope. That's the art of medicine. Even where hope may not exist, give hope. Because, you know, early in my clinical career, I tried to prognosticate. That's what patients ask us to do sometimes. And I was remarkably impressed with my complete inability to prognosticate. That sometimes I thought the patient would do terribly. Every clinical bit of evidence said that that would be the case. And I would convey that to the family. And the patient would wake up from their stroke and walk out of the hospital and be playing the violin again. And I go, how do these things happen? Other times when we thought patients would do well, they didn't end up doing well. But I think one of the most important elements for all of us is to be resilient and to have hope and convey hope to others. And as healers, to be relentlessly optimistic in what we do. And I think it's really critical. So one of the things that I think is interesting is learning from my experience as an astronaut. Right now, everyone in this room has been trained in the model of health and disease. And I would submit that we need to think about things from a different perspective. Every one of us, as we age, will end up acquiring various medical conditions. So to me, the real goal of being a healer is to optimize people's ability to live with whatever medical condition they have. And that's called wellness. So in fact, as we look to the future, individualized healthcare will become very commonplace. In fact, genomic medicine will be the medicine of the future, and we will have genomic countermeasures, ways of preventing disease through genetic manipulation, genetic action. So I think these are things that are really exciting, but it comes back to the human. It's the perfect fit for that individual. Remember, it's all about treating the human first, being a healer second. In closing, I'd like to show you a video that to me represents the... we were going to show you a video. Sorry? I have to click. Rumor has it I have to click. Okay, here we go. We're going to show you a video that to me really represents some of the exciting aspects of what it's like being a clinician. Thank you. As a hospital CEO and a physician, I now have the opportunity to work with a team of over 4,000 individuals in a remarkable facility, Regional Cardiac Center, Regional Cancer Program. We have the largest complex electrophysiology program in Canada, and we help change people's lives on a day-to-day basis. That's something that is truly remarkable. The video, we put it together to celebrate our commitment to deliver shockingly excellent experiences to our patients and their families. And that's a commitment we take very seriously. Today you will be donning the white coat for the first time in your clinical career, the first of many times in your clinical career. And I look forward to following your careers and seeing all the remarkable discoveries that people in this room will make that will change the future and the face of healthcare, transforming medicine. Thank you for being the students that you are. Thank you for the great work that you do on a day-to-day basis. I wish you all the best in your studies and your clinical studies on the ward. And congratulations again to all the parents for your tremendous support for your children, enabling them to achieve their dreams. Thank you so much for having me today. Congratulations. I wore my McGill tie today. Yes.
Andrea Cassus, membre de la classe de 2014, a reçu son sarau blanc il y a 2 ans. Elle est maintenant en 4e année. Andrea va partager avec nous ses réflexions des deux dernières années.
2 years ago, Andrea Cassus put on her white coat for the first time in this very room. Now, in her fourth and final year, Andrea is here today to give us her reflections on her journey in medicine. Andrea.
Hi, everyone. Is this too close to the microphone? This is good? Yeah? Okay. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me here today. Welcome to all the faculty, to family members, to members of our faculty here, and most importantly, welcome to my colleagues in the class of 2016. So congratulations on your impending transition from the classroom to the clinical world. And I don't know about all of you, but I very anxiously awaited for the day that I would walk through the hospital hallways with a sense of purpose. The day that I brought home my own white coat marked a very steep climb up a learning curve that you're all going to join me on soon. As a clerk, I'm proud to embody my role as a member of the medical team, and I consider myself privileged to try to heal my patients. Now, don't underestimate the difference that only 2 years can make. My experiences over the last 2 years have really allowed me to thrive as a medical student. And I've imparted me with some wisdom that I'd like to share with all of you today. And hopefully my advice will help prepare you for the thrills and the challenges that are waiting for you on the other side of the hospital door. Oh. Whoops. Sorry. Okay. Firstly, I want you guys to take a good look at your white coat. Learn its anatomy and learn it well. And knowing these basics will help facilitate your patient care. Let's begin with the lapel. This is the pedestal for your stethoscope. Your stethoscope is a routine player in your physical exam. Use it to listen to your patient's internal melodies and listen to them carefully. Now, you may be tempted to tell your staff that, of course, you hear that crescendo, decrescendo, sternal murmur because everyone else on rounds hears it. And obviously, it sounds totally different from the apical murmur that the patient also happens to have. My advice to you guys, don't lie. Practice makes perfect, and humility will make you a better learner. Second, the white coat pockets. So crucial in their depth of content. Now, your white coat pockets should always carry, in order of priority, protein-rich snacks for the inevitable extension of rounds into late morning, your patient list for when details start to escape you, your to-do list for the day, because efficiency is key. And finally, abridge notes on subjects that are classically pimped. I remember very clearly my first experience as a pimpy. I was in my first clerkship rotation, so first month of clerkship ever. It was week two. I was on the internal medicine wards at the Jewish General Hospital, and it was late morning. I was on rounds, and all I could think about was the granola bar that was in my locker and not in my white coat pocket. When my staff on rounds turned to me and said, "Andrea, can you give me the differential diagnosis for a cause of fever and petechial rash in this patient?" So I waited for my multiple choice options. only to realize that real life doesn't work like that. So no, the answer wasn't C. So I quickly deferred to my default answer, I don't know. So my advice to all of you is not to be embarrassed when you guys are asked questions for which you have no answers. As a clerk, I think it's really comforting to know that the entire medical team has been in the position that you've been in before and is now really invested in your learning. And for the record, I still don't know the answer to that question. The third anatomical compartment of your white coat is the front pocket on which you'll suspend your ID. Your patients will feel a lot of relief knowing that they're being attended to by an étudiant en médecine. No, I'm not being sarcastic, I'm serious. You should know that your patients won't notice that your name isn't followed by an MD or an MSc or an FRCPC. And Dr. Williams, I say that with the utmost respect because you have a lot of letters after your name. Similarly, your patients won't know if you're a med-P, if you have a bachelor's degree, a master's, a PhD, and they don't care if you're a Caucasian, Hispanic, African-American, Asian, Anglophone, Francophone, Allophone. For your patients, you are their doctor, and they're grateful for your care. What I found remarkable is that while you might feel like a rookie delivering your care, your patients don't sense they're inexperienced. In exchange for your care, patients give you their trust, and I really hope that you don't take this gift for granted. So your fourth and final anatomical compartment are the sleeves of your white coat. And you can use these to catch your tears. Or your sweat sometimes. The lives of your patients may come to an end when they're under your care, and their passing can sometimes be distressing. And you'll never forget the first patient that you cried tears for, and I have a feeling that the first patient might not be your last. So when I was an ICM student, and for the parents and family members here, ICM is what the medical students are going to next, my clinical tutor taught me about Occam's razor and Hickam's dictum. So Occam's razor is the principle of diagnostic parsimony, and it encourages us to look for the fewest possible diagnoses that can account for all the symptoms. And alternatively, Hickam's dictum counter-argues that patients can have as many diagnoses as they please. Makes your life complicated. As a clerk, it might be easy for you to liken your patient to the one that came in last month with a nearly identical constellation of symptoms. Common things are common, and when you hear hoofbeats, they're more likely to come from horses than they are from zebras. That being said, I encourage all of you to keep an open diagnostic mind. Patients come with rich histories, medical and non-medical. And it sometimes makes their multiple pathophysiologies manifest as very unique experiences of disease. Explore these histories, because you might be surprised at the things that you'll learn if you apply the dictum before you cut with a razor. You'll learn more from your patients than you've learned from Netter and are going to learn from Bates or Lawrence or Harrison or Nelson. Get to know your patients. Read their faces, observe their rates and their rhythms, observe their body language, and remember their words. If you let yourself look for answers in them, instead of rushing to up-to-date, you'll learn that patients themselves will give you the tools that most modern medicine can't. These tools will guide your clinical instincts and help you be comfortable making decisions that aren't delineated by multiple choice options and selected through process of elimination. Now, in sharing this bit of advice, I'm actually reminded of a time where I was on call on the pediatrics wards. It was 10 p.m., and I was paged that Sarah needs me now. Sarah was my 12-year-old patient, and she had last minute been scheduled for a test the next morning that had required a really invasive prep the night before. She was midway through her prep when I ran to her bedside at 10. She was pale, she was trembling, terrified. Her and her mother were super anxious. And I knew that the test was necessary to further her workup, and medically it was indicated. But she just wasn't ready for it. And my instinct told me that she needed more time. So it was that same instinct that I shared with my team, with my medical team the next morning on rounds. I vouched for my patient because I knew her best, and it got her what she needed. Another 24 hours to brace herself for this test that she passed with flying colors the following day. As medical students, we often have the most time to dedicate to our patients. And as a result, we develop pretty unique relationships with them. This can make the difference between curing them of their disease and healing them of their illness. Early in your training, you'll experience the pride that's part and parcel of the service that we provide. Knowing that we make a difference gives purpose to the many years of training that we all have ahead. But I would be lying if I said that the rewards of this profession don't come at the expense of long hours, challenging work, and the pressure that we all put on ourselves to excel at our craft. As a medical student, I push myself. I work hard because I want to learn and I want to impress, and I have no doubt that you'll all do the same. I remember the last week of my obstetrics and gynecology rotation. I had been studying all day and all night for my exam. I was fighting off a cold. I felt like garbage one morning when I walked into the case room. But one of our patients was close to delivering, and so I ran to assist the delivery. I pushed myself because I wanted more exposure. And in hindsight, I shouldn't have. I wasn't feeling well. And the joke was on me when halfway through the delivery, I passed out cold onto the floor and the nurses almost had to call a code on the medical student. Which is not exactly what mom in the bed above me had in mind when she was pushing out her newborn. Through trial and error this year, I've learned that I'm really at my best when I'm healthy, I'm happy, and I'm fulfilled. And I hope that you guys won't sacrifice your me time, because it'll come at the expense of your mental and your physical health. You might feel guilty at first, but the guilt will quickly be overridden by gratitude for the run that you went on or for the glass of wine that you drank over dinner with friends. You can only learn to take care of your patients when you learn to take care of yourself. I was once told by one of my attending staff that I'll eventually become an amalgam of all of my clinical teachers. And with the benefit of hindsight, I can now appreciate how my disposition as a clerk is in some way made up of the skills that I've observed and acquired from the nurses, the residents, the attending staff, and other members of the healthcare team. With that being said, the same hindsight lets me appreciate the stronger role that each of my patients has played in shaping the physician that I'll become. The role of a physician as a healer is so hugely dependent on the role of the patient as a teacher. I'm smarter, I'm better, and I'm more prepared because of them. And you will be too. As medical students, we are all a work in progress. Our trials and errors are justifiable because we're learners, but our unique position of apprenticeship does not preclude our ability to affect change during our training. The very moment that we don our healer's habit and break in our white coats for the very first time, we become active members of the healthcare team. With this privilege, we're given an amazing opportunity to assume the role of physicians as healers. And for this, I hope that you're all proud, and I hope that you'll all seize the opportunity. This is not the path of least resistance, but I'm standing here this morning to promise you all that the reward at the end makes the very long and winding road worthwhile. So to the class of 2016, I wish you all a big congratulations and the very best of luck.
Alors, nous allons maintenant commencer avec la remise des sérums blancs. Les étudiants seront assistés avec les sérums par Dr. Don Boudreau, ancien directeur de programme d'études de volet professionnalisme, et par Dr. Barry Slapkoff, directeur de programme de l'apprenti médecin.
We will now proceed to the donning of the white coats. You will be helped on with your white coats by Dr. Don Boudreau, past director of the Office of Physicianship Curriculum Development, and by Dr. Barry Slapkoff, director of the Physician Apprenticeship Program. So I'd like the students to stand and be ready at the bottom of the stairs for your name to be called, so you can come up immediately. Students will also receive a gift of 2 Osler books, because you can never have enough of Osler. A Way of Life by William Osler and Sir William Osler, a selection for medical students. And these books will be available for pickup at the faculty at a later time. We'd ask the audience to hold your applause until all the white coats are received, and we'll applaud the class at the end. Alors, s'il vous plaît, gardez vos applaudissements jusqu'à tous les étudiants aient reçu leur sarrau. And so this is actually where I put on my glasses so I can read the names. And if I mispronounce your name, please come up to me afterwards so that I learn how to pronounce it. Number 2, that I don't mispronounce it at convocation in 2 years from now. And are we ready?
We are ready.
And I was told to go slower than last year. Wasila 8 Igreen. Cyril Archambault. Achutan Arul Jyoti. Sophia Bachilova. Catherine Bachman. Matthew Bizath. Amistou Barras. Chloé Bastien Tardif. Pierre-Luc Baudouin. David Bélanger. Simon Benoît Dubé. David Benrimo. Omar Benrian. Melanie Bernstein. Magali Bidal Saint-Aubin. Audrey Blackburn. Benjamin Bloom. Gabrielle Bonneville. Carl Budman. Catherine Audrey Boutin.
Jonas Bredas. Camille Brisson-Tessier. Victor Brochu. Emmy Kai. Eric Carelli. Camila Canero de Lima. Stephanie Carochi James. Kenji Chan. Maxime Charbonneau. Daniel Char. Matthew Cherian. C.N. Che. Sarah Turfey. Guillaume Chouinard-Pelletier. Cammy Chow. Catherine Cole. Jason Corbin. Alexandrine da Silva. Maya Dahan. Luc Degary. Antoine Desilets. Antonio De Cintio. Elise Delena. John D. Liliello. Alexandre Dosteler. Jonathan Doyon. Yasmina Doyon Leroux. Stephanie Dufour. Estefania Echeverry Castano. Sarah Friedman. Isabel Friedman. Ryan Gale. Mathilde Gaudreau-Simard. Yes. Alex Gauthier. Meng Jiao Ji. Alexandra Georgescu. Jenny Giancaspro. Kirsten Gust. Mohammed Habal. Kira Harris. Olivia Hirshhorn. Julia Hickey. Laura Horowitz. Sarah Hosseini. Jonathan Hull. Catherine Huang. Kenan Huang. I think that means we're about halfway through. But we're only on the J's. There we go. Rafia Javed. Shiva Javishgani. Kimberly Caspi. Stephanie Kelly. Jason Curry. Sharmila Kular. Amanda Knezovic. Stanley Kwan. Myriam Labossière. Annie Lalonde. Jean-Daniel Lalonde. Francisca Lambert Filsar. Marie-Pierre Lanoux. Kathy Kim Lay. Estelle Leblanc-Mallette. Guillaume Lepage-Miro. Valérie Lévesque. Chang Lu. Enriqueta Lucar Figueroa. Milin Ma.
Name tag on the floor. Name tag.
Tina Mazima. Anali Maneshi. Peter Mankowski. Stephanie Marcel. Mary Eve Martins. Marina Maskouchen. Charles Massey, Vanessa Masson, Theodore McConnell. Allison McGlashan. Nicholas Métis. Desmond Milroy. Ahmed Mirza. Shivali Misra. Roxana Mititelu. Christina Mitrich. Mirad Mujtahid Jaberi. Jonathan Morass. Marissa Morgan Cavallaro. Mickey Moroz. Pedram Masalanajad. Sanila Music. Andrew Mutter. Christine Nadeau. Christopher Nguyen. Joanne Nguyen. Kathleen Nguyen. Charles Nan. Sarah Nitoslowski. Jim Niu. Patrick O'Farrell. Michael Orenstein. Jennifer Palermo. Lisa Palladini. Sean Palay. Sanam Patel. Emma Perkins. Kim Fung. Jennifer Picado. Jesse Popov. Emma Preston. Zakhar Prilutsky. Robert Puckrin. Jasmine Ramcharitar. Vandana Rawal. Bernard Reed. Catherine Rich. Michael Richard. Catherine Roberge. Michelle Roseman. Yeah. Mathieu Rousseau, Stephen Roy, Trevor Sabourin, Bayan Sabsabi, one more, Nadia Safa, Stephen Safar, Ibrahim Salama, Siddika Salami, Marie-Philippe Saltil, Carol Salmon, Vladimir Sapin-Cousineau, Rilla Schneider, Marika Sevigny, Sushmita Shivkumar, Nathalie Ciclet, Aaron Silberman, Camille Simard, Kalita Singh, Lojan Sivakumaran, David Saint-Pierre, Linda Sun, Mathieu Surprenant, Roman Tarnavsky, Evangelia Theodosopoulos, Pascal Thériault-Lauzier, Marcel Tomaszewski, Katsarina Traor, Jessica Tremblay, Maud Trépanier, Camille Turgeon-Provost, Camille Vallée-Gravel, Vincenzina Varicali, Caroline Villeneuve, Olivia Vincent Boulay, Tessa Wallace, Samuel Wasserman, Carl White Ulysse, Jennifer Wright, Ashley Wynn, Nathan Yang, Dominic Zammit, Hanye Zergum, Peter Zilbergold. So, félicitations, congratulations. J'invite maintenant Aaron Silberman à donner l'allocation. Oups, there we go. The président de classe. Et d'assister la classe avec le serment de la promotion 2016. So Aaron Silberman, president of the class of 2016, will address his class and lead their class in their class pledge.
Already making good use of the pockets here. I didn't have a granola bar on me. Members of the faculty, distinguished guests, Osler fellows, family and friends, welcome to the white coat ceremony of the class of 2016. I'm truly humbled to be addressing all of you on behalf of such an incredible class. I don't know how many of my fellow classmates share the sentiment, but I still have days when I'm shocked to realize that I'm in medical school. I remember the evening I found out, and my father can corroborate the story. I ran upstairs to my parents screaming, "I got in! I got in!" Then came the first day of classes, exhilarating exams, amazing unit parties, and now this. Only a short while ago, most of us were strangers to each other, connected only by our shared sense of cluelessness of what was to come. Now, through our joint triumphs and struggles, we've become a family. We strengthen and help one another into becoming the best possible physicians. While we're inundated with information, we can't forget what brought us here in the first place, the desire to effect positive changes in people's lives. While that may sound trite, I truly believe we can never stop striving to improve the world. And it is this perhaps naive aspiration that will help make us successful physicians. I've often pondered for how long I can maintain this mindset. Will I become cynical and jaded in 20 years' time? Or will I still take those extra moments to truly listen to my patients and make sure they feel heard? These are some of the very real challenges and responsibility that come with this white coat. And while I may not know the answer to these questions, this coat will serve as a daily reminder for me of who we are and why we're here. For me, this coat signifies the privilege we have of being able, hopefully, to effect meaningful changes in our neighbors' lives. That is what this coat means to me. And as we make the transition from classroom to clinic, I encourage all of you to try to find meaning in your white coat. With the strong support of our teachers, family, and friends, I have complete and utter confidence that you will all be incredible physicians and will continue to support each other, and me, I hope, when we reach the clinics. I'd like to extend my deep, deep gratitude to all the family, friends, and loved ones who have given us their unconditional support and encouragement. We truly would not have gotten here without you. Thanks, Mom and Dad. Thank you to Dean Eidelman, Dr. Williams, and Andrea Kassous. Your stories and words of encouragement are something we will cherish throughout our careers. Thank you. Thank you to Dean Primavesi. Your devotion to ensuring the integrity of our learning experience does not go unnoticed. Thank you very much. I would also like to thank Drs. Boudreau and Slapkoff for ensuring the physicianship program is as insightful as possible and for helping us put on our awesome white coats. Next, I would like to express my deep gratitude to all our professors and Elsler fellows. Through the teaching and support you give us, you help us come closer to our shared goal, and that is to become the best possible physicians. Thank you. I would also like to thank Anne Briggs and the entire Undergraduate Medical Education Office, without whom today's events would not be possible. We know how hard each and every one of you work to make medical school run, so thank you for ensuring we get the best possible education. It really is appreciated. Thank you to Stephanie Kelly and Kira Harris. Here is your number, Stephanie. For coordinating the writing of our class pledge, and to all the members of the class that helped him with that task. And lastly, I'd like to thank the greatest class I could possibly ask for, the class of 2016. You are some of the most fun and insightful people I have ever met in my life, and I consider myself privileged to be included in your ranks. I know that the bonds that we've created over the past year will only be strengthened in the years to come. And now, I'd like to ask the class of 2016 to please rise and recite with me our class pledge, first in French and then in English. Nous, membres de la promotion de 2016 du programme de médecine de McGill, qui venons de revêtir ce sarrau, entamons notre parcours dans le but de devenir les professionnels de la santé qui méritent notre communauté et nos patients. Aujourd'hui, c'est avec joie que nous nous engageons à soutenir les patients dans leur quête de santé mentale, physique et spirituelle, en traitant chacun d'eux dans leur intégrité, tout en sachant que leur individualité va bien au-delà de leur maladie. Apprendre à soigner autant qu'à guérir. Écouter attentivement et avec compassion le récit de chaque patient. Aborder avec curiosité, courage et ouverture d'esprit ceux qui nous ont pas familiers sans oublier, afin d'en apprendre davantage. Défendre l'égalité et le droit de l'autonomie afin de favoriser un monde où les soins de santé ne sont plus affectés par l'âge, le genre, l'orientation sexuelle, l'origine ethnique, la région, la langue, de la situation socio-économique. Nous rappeler qu'afin de travailler pour la santé d'autrui, nous devons tenter de garder à l'esprit l'importance de notre propre santé, que soit celle du corps, de l'esprit, de l'âme. Collaborer avec nos collègues de réseau de la santé des connaissances que nous partageons afin de contribuer au progrès de l'étude de la médecine et des sciences de la santé. Traitons nos patients avec dignité et respect tout en leur prodiguant différents soins médicaux à tout moment de leur vie et à l'approcher de leur décès. Recherchez quotidiennement la joie et la satisfaction dans l'exercice de la médecine et se sent à la confiance et le privilège que nous accorde le propre de ces cerveaux. As we are enrobed in these white coats, the McGill Medicine Class of 2016 embark on our journey towards becoming the medical professionals that our community and patients deserve. Today, we joyously pledge to assist our patients in the pursuit of mental, physical, and spiritual health by treating each patient as a whole person whose individuality far exceeds his or her illness. To embrace the task of learning to heal as such much of us. To listen attentively and compassionately to each patient's unique story. To approach the unfamiliar with curiosity, courage, open-mindedness, and a willingness to ask questions. To advocate for equality and empowerment of people from all walks of life so that we may foster a world where one's health is no longer affected by gender identity, sexual orientation, race, religion, linguistic background, or socioeconomic status. To remember that in order to work for the health of others, we must strive to maintain our health, mind, body, and spirit. To partner with our colleagues within the healthcare to deepen our shared knowledge and to contribute to the ever-expanding study of medicine and health sciences. To treat our patients with dignity, respect, and competent medical care throughout every stage of their lives and at the time of their death. To seek joy and fulfillment every day in the practice of medicine and never to forget the trusted and privileged positions that we have to us with these white coats.
Do you want to see that slide one more time? Alors, merci à tous qui ont assisté aujourd'hui à cette cérémonie. I'd like to thank you, everybody who has come today. And special thanks to a few people who actually made this possible. Certainly the entire undergraduate medical administrative staff that participated today. To the Faculty of Medicine Development Alumni Relations, who actually funded the White Coats. to Diana Colby and the communications team, the Med-IT team and the technology team that actually made this morning run without any hitches and allowed us to have a live streaming with friends and family next door. And in particular, Anne Briggs and Carolyn Cichon and Silvana DiLolo and Leo Titero and Maya Zarumba from our special events team that made all this possible. I would like to invite you for a reception in celebration of our students and their families on both the 6th and 5th floor lobby, so you can actually use entrances in the back or the front of the room, wherever is closest. Alors maintenant, j'aimerais vous inviter à une réception pour nos étudiants et leurs familles au foyer de 5e et 6e étage. Et vous pouvez utiliser les sorties en arrière ou en avant des salles. And finally, in the words of Barry Slavkoff, Director of Physician Apprenticeship, enjoy the day and with humility, take pride in your accomplishments.